Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, I won't be surprised if somehow Ben Watson, coming out of retirement, makes his way back to Foxborough. That won't surprise me down the line. But that's Ben Watson at whatever age he is. And now you've got Ben Watson and Austin Safarian Jenkins, and you still need more help there.
Adam Schefter this morning. Amazing. Ben Watson, guy that still can play, looked pretty good last year with New Orleans. We talk about the Patriots and the predicament they're in right now with the retirement of Rob Gronkowski. They had a very similar situation back in 2002. They had missed on Holloway Love the year before, and so Bill
they were stuck with signing Fourier the year before, so they knew they needed help.
Well, that was a huge mistake, but that's a subject for another day. And so what they did is they wanted to get Daniel Graham. So they moved up. They had the 32nd pick. They gave the 32nd pick 96, 234th, got to 21, and they got Daniel Graham. And Dan joins us on the phone line right now. Good to talk to you again. How are you?
Hey, I'm good. How you guys doing?
Terrific. Terrific. So the Patriots are in the exact same predicament. They need themselves a tight end. So you tell us, because you vote every year for the best tight end, and you know these players inside and out. You also know what Belichick likes and the system he likes to use with tight ends. So you tell me who fits the best description of that Patriot tight end.
Well, you know what? I like Hockenson, you know, just because, you know, he can stay on the field for all downs, you know. And I tell you what, now watching these tight ends, you know, coming out of college, it's really hard to find a good tight end that can block. And, you know, my college coach told me, you know, I wouldn't play tight end if I couldn't catch. So that's not one thing I'm worried about. You know, the biggest thing is, you know, do you have that guy, you know, like Gronkowski, that can stay on the field all three downs and not give away to the defense what you're going to do?
So, Daniel, it seems like he's going in the top 10. And we don't think that he can pass will jump up that highly, although everybody's raving about him. But so then other guys come, like guys that they can either move up slightly or Irv Smith might fall to them. What can you tell us about those two guys?
Fenton, you know, he's not, you know, he's just as good as Hockenson. I mean, it's crazy just the numbers that those guys put up on the same team. Can you imagine what they've done in college if they were just by themselves, you know, not a dual threat? But, it's really hard to tell, you know, from a blocking standpoint, how a tight end will pan out in the NFL. You know, it's really not a demand, it seems like, at the college level. Guys aren't really being taught how to block. And so, you know, I mean, it's almost a guess, you know, picking a tight end that can really be effective in the run game, because we know what they're going to do in the passing game.
Is that really that the thing that separates me? I know probably all teams in the NFL, but you played for Bill Belichick. What is the one thing that he looks for in a tight end?
Well, first of all, just that physical tight end, you know, and really just someone who can block. You know, like I said earlier, we wouldn't play tight end if we couldn't catch the ball.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just remember my college coach is telling me if I really want to be good in, you know, at the NFL level, I'm going to have to learn how to block. And for my 5 years in college, that's what we focused on a lot. And I think that's what really separated me from, you know, guys coming out the year I got drafted, is that I really, you know, knew how to block and actually enjoyed it.
How much is intelligence? I know he bypassed it when Christian came along, but with you and others, obviously, it was a big factor. Do they need to get somebody who can understand what defenses are doing?
Yeah, you know, the intelligence part, you know, that Belichick is looking for is very important. You know, because defense changes, you know, weekly. You know, things might change on the fly, and you really need that guy that really can see what's going on, you know, at that moment and really make adjustments, you know, to the run game.
So, you know, obviously the huge hole when Gronk leaves. So everybody's focusing on the tight end. Those three guys I just mentioned to you. And because of that, Bill, as we all know, will draft a guard, you know, at 32 and just will pass on a tight end. But how deep is that position other than those three guys? If they wait to that second, third, fourth round pick, are there tight ends out there that you've seen this year that kind of jump off the page for you and think would be a good fit?
You know what? Really, after those guys, you know, it's almost just a guess. And, you know, it's waiting to see what's going to happen in the NFL. You know, just watching a lot of these tight ends, most of them are in 3-point or in 2-point stances the entire college career. Yeah. So, you know, it's really hard to see what a tight end can do nowadays in the run game because they don't do that at the college level.
And Ben Watson, you think he can still play?
Oh, yeah. You know, I think Ben still has it. You know, I'm amazed that, you know, he's still going this long in his career, especially coming back from a real big injury. And, you know, he rehabbed it back and had a, you know, pretty decent year these last few years.
He did. He announced his retirement, then he came out of retirement. He said, maybe I want to still play.
We're talking to Daniel Graham, who's actually former New England Patriot tight end on the board right now for the John Mackey Award for the best tight end in college football. And you mentioned Ben Watson. I don't know if you still stay in touch with him, but wouldn't this seem like if you're thinking of retiring and the Patriots have a need, wouldn't you think it'd be just an easy fit for him to come back out again?
You know what? I think it'd be a great fit. You know, it's funny because I remember Ben called me, seemed like 3 or 4 years ago, you know, asking me to come out to his last game because he was retiring. You know, I went to the game and then I saw in the offseason he signed with another team. So, you know, this would be Ben Watson if he does come out of retirement and come join the Patriots. But if he does, I think it'll be a good fit because he understands his system. He knows what to expect from Belichick and the Patriots, and he would be a great addition, you know, to the Patriots.
All right, so, Dan, I got to ask you because, you know, we have Christian Fourier here with us, and we give it to him all the time. And, you know, and I always ask him why he hates Mike Vrabel so much. So I would ask you the same way. He stole those touchdowns for you, so apparently you don't like Mike either.
Hey, you know, I agree with Christian. You know, he came in, you know, stole our touchdowns in the Super Bowl. You know, I should have tried harder, you know, to get on the defensive side, you know, maybe take a few snaps.
Well, he always said that. He's like, you know, Daniel and Ben should be more pissed than I was, you know, but still, he wasn't happy either.
He's pretty pissed, though.
Yeah, he's still pissed
pissed at it. He's not letting it go. You know, sometimes you just don't. And it pisses him off even more when he sees him on the sidelines now in Tennessee. You know, it's just.
You know what? It's crazy because, you know, you look at the highlights of the Super Bowls and you see Vrabel catching, you know, passes, you know, from Brady. It's like, okay, well, who were the tight ends? Maybe they didn't have good tight ends. So, you know, it just shines a little bad light on it a little bit. So, yeah, we all have a little bit of sour taste in our mouth, Bill.
Well, the funny thing about it is he's up, Vrabel is up for the Patriots Hall of Fame this year. And he's probably going to get into it, not necessarily for what he did defensively, which he was excellent at, but because people do remember the touchdowns, so that's going to add to it. So the offensive snaps he took might be the difference of getting him in to the Patriots Hall of Fame. Hey, it was good talking with you. Thank you very much for helping us out with these tight ends. We appreciate it. Have a good one, Dan.
All right, take care.
See you later. Dan Graham, former New England Patriot.
Oh, there you go.
Well, the problem is that
after those three,
they're not getting Hawkinson.
He is right, because Christian's talked about it before. You know, like the tight ends in football, it's so opened up that you don't see too many run blockers anymore. And you know Bill was looking for that, or at least he needs some of that. We saw Dwayne Allen last year as another tackle.
Well, you know, the other thing, too, is think about this. Rob Gronkowski has been a major factor when they go heavy and they're trying to protect Brady, even in a passing game. So they brought him over. If they're having trouble off of one edge, right, what do? They bring Rob Gronkowski over there, and they're helping out to keep Brady clean.
There's no more Rob Gronkowski.
Right. Where do you find that
guy? I mean, it sounds like this kid, Hawkinson, from Iowa, kind of is the full package.
Yeah.
But to be able to have Gronk, he's everything. Pass catcher, blocker, you're never going to replace that. You know, you're going big, and all of a sudden you look out and you see the personnel, and you say, no, we're not going to run the ball. Gronk, go out there. You're going to be lined up against someone who can't cover you. Or, you know, vice versa. It's like small. Gronk, come back in here. We're going to block. We're going to run. Just the versatility. You didn't know what the hell they were going to do with him in the field. You're not going to get that again. You're just not.
And you know what? The more you see of him now, and he's everywhere. Gronk is not going into hiding. If you notice this, he's on social media. He's everywhere out there.
Oh, hey, it's this guy.
But you can see he's dropped a few pounds here. He's not coming back.
No.
I mean, I think you could throw that one out now. Does anybody really believe that he works the body and changes the makeup of his body, that suddenly he's going to, 8 games into this thing, sit there and say, yeah, I really want to come back right now? How long would that take him just to get back into shape to be able to play that position? I don't see it.
By the way, this is from Jeff Howe.
Oh, wait a minute. Here we go. Breaking news.
The Patriots have selected.
So he tweeted out, as much fun as I had had ruining the TV show the last 4 years, I won't be doing it this weekend.
Why not?
It's my choice alone.
Oh, no, it isn't.
Right.
I've got
too much else to handle the next few nights.
Oh, stop it.
Sorry to everyone who's been asking.
Oh, that's crap.
Don't believe him?
No.
It doesn't work for ESPN.
I don't get it.
I'm just saying, it doesn't work for the NFL Network, ESPN, right? Is he over the Athletic?
What? Yes, unless they got to them. Why would you give that up? If people were paying attention to you last year. Certainly
the next day, everyone's like, Jeff Howe had everything. Jeff Howe had everything. Jeff Howe had everything. Now this year he's going to have nothing. I'm not going to talk about it.
This makes no sense. This makes absolutely zero sense.
Goodell is a piranha.
I just don't understand how Goodell or the NFL.
I don't think that's the case.
Well, what is he doing?
You have to ask him. He says it's personal choice.
Getting his lawn in shape?
I don't think
for
the NFL
the
is dropping the hammer on the Athletic. Do you?
No, but why
he's
would
got
he...
control maybe so, over the NFL okay. Network, he's okay. ESPN, money-wise, but the Athletic?
So let me give you one.
Go ahead.
Let me give you one. If he does it, the NFL is going to go out of their way to stick it to him in the future. So he's not going to get anything anymore because there are people in there that are saying, we'll get you. He's fearful that it will affect his job in the future.
Ooh.
That's a good one.
Well, that would be the only way. No, you're right. So somebody in the NFL office, somebody tied in with the NFL and says, I can't do it this year.
We'll get you.
No, maybe his source got cut off.
Deflate your tires.
You know, no, but I'm just saying, maybe his source or two, whatever, got cut off and said,
very good.
You're not allowed. We know we were on to you last year.
Yes.
This guy, Jeff Howe, out of Boston, every single pick. We know you're his source.
Do you really believe Jeff Howe?
His own personal choice.
Hey, listen, I was great last year. I was breaking every one of the picks, but guess what? I'm not going to do it.
He lost his source. You did.
That's exactly
because you're telling me.
His choice. No, that's it.
You're telling me this
guy's respecting his choice.
No, Hold on. Yeah, you got to dig deeper into this. So you're telling me that his employee, the Athletic, doesn't want their NFL guy to draw attention to himself and their website by being the talk of the night when he's dropping off every single pick.
Mike Kinzel,
you don't go against the Shield.
Mike Kinzel called him and says, hey, Jeff, I can't do it this year. I'm getting a lot of pressure.
I guarantee his employer saw that and was like, what are you talking about, Jeff? Of course you are.
There's no way.
And he comes back and says,
exactly
I know, but the source I had at the NFL is not doing
it
anymore.
That's it. He talked to his source. His source is basically saying, I can't do this.
Can't do it. We're not allowed to do it.
Commission is really clamping down on this one this year. Yep, I'll lose my job. I can't do it.
I can't believe you guys are disrespecting his
He had one guy that was leaking all of this stuff to him. That's what it was. He had one guy.
Maybe two, but one.
All
whatever.
Right. My guess is one guy, and that guy's shut off right now. But this is a big, huge deal. The NFL is so interested, and that's why it's going on ABC tonight. So it's going on a big network. It did go on Fox, I think, for the first day or something last year, didn't it?
Somebody's going to make a name for themselves tonight.
But it's going to be a little guy.
Yeah.
But I'm saying,
make a name for themselves that we didn't know who they were. Somebody, you're going to sit there, three picks in. You're not even following them right now. You're not even following them. You don't even know who it is. And all of a sudden, you're going to sit there and you're going to see like a retweet, a quote tweet, and be like, wow, this guy's got all the picks. And then you're going to follow him. And he's going to get like a million followers in one night.
Let's go back to the show.
And we're
going to
be talking about this guy who works for the Blast.
And by pick number 14, Lou, he's going to have all the wrong guys because somebody's going to feed him the bad information just to stick it to him.
Yeah.
But that's what this is. I mean, yeah, the NFL is going out of their way. They're going to the NFL Network. I don't care what Mortensen says. They're going to the ESPN.
Four hours before the pick.
And
nothing?
No. They are cleaning this thing up. They want to make sure that at 8 o'clock tonight, they maximize that audience, and they give you something that you're going to be either shocked at or, oh, my God, what just happened? I've never seen this before.
They're respecting the sanctity of the draft.
Guys, we always sit there and know what's going to happen with the first pick in the draft, and we're trying to figure out maybe the second, usually the second, third kind of fall in place, and then we're saying, okay, what happens 5, 6, 7, 8? And right now we're 4 hours away, less than 4 hours away from the draft. and then we're trying to figure out what's going to happen with the number one spot. And all of these guys who have been breaking stories left and right every other day for years now are sitting there going, I don't know. Personal choice. I don't know. And then Jeff Howe's telling me it's a personal choice.
Personal choice.
You know what? I don't want to.
Good for you, Jeff.
Jeff, thank you. You do not want to ruin the event for all of those people across the country who will be watching the broadcast tonight. That is so good of you. Just to sit back and let those people be startled, be amazed what happens at 8:05, 8:10. It's not very nice of Jeff Howe to do that. I'm not buying it.
Me neither.
Yeah, you're right. His source got shot off. That's what happened.
Had to have.
Yeah, his source got shot off. He met him in the garage last night.
The last thing you ever want to do is bring attention.
The guy said, no, I can't do it anymore.
The last thing
you
want to do is hogtied in the NFL offices somewhere.
Bring attention to you or your website. That's the last thing you want to do like tonight.
Why do that? Why do that?
Yeah, I'm not buying it.
Fraudulent. All right, 617-779-7937. We get back to the phone calls. Load them up. Coming up next.
Keep up with the show on Twitter at OMF on WEEI. Before, during, and after the show at OMF on WEEI. Let's get you back to more of Ordway, Merlone, and Fourier right now on Sports Radio WEEI.
All right, the big fella's off today, but Lou and I are here at 617-779-7937. It's all brought to you by Shepley Wood Products, your local Anderson Windows dealer. The You Call It segment from last hour where Lou was hoping, pleading, begging that he could get more me time, a little free me time. It's not going over well in the Merlone household.
Why? What happened? I don't understand. What do you mean?
your wife is already tweeting out there. She's killing you right now. It probably was not a smart thing to do on your part. I mean, it was, you know, good for the show that you throw it out there. But
blaming the dog, Georgie.
It was stupid. You know,
and the family.
You're going to pay the price.
Oh, of course. She needs more me time as well.
Why don't you have the son-in-law watch the hockey game, take notes, because I don't think you're watching it at home tonight.
She needs more me time.
To be fair, you didn't actually bring up that the wife was an issue. Just all the other stuff going on.
Right, no, we both need me time.
Me time means you and wife time.
Yeah, we both need me time. Yeah. Yeah, the two older people in the house. We need me time. We all do. I got a lot of response on that. A lot of people say they spend an hour in the bathroom. For their me time.
For different reasons, I guess. I don't know. That's a little strange.
Bring the iPad, phone. No, a lot of people bring it all in there.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, no. Hang on.
I can't do that. Yes. I don't understand why anybody would do that.
You like to spread the newspaper out on the floor?
Yeah, that's good.
Sure.
Who has a hard copy newspaper anymore? Nobody does that anymore. Who does that?
Oh, that's old school.
Nobody does that.
That's you got to have it delivered. That's a whole mess.
Yeah. And then what do you do with the leftover papers? Come on.
Hey, you leave it for the next person. It's very considerate.
What left next person? Who are you talking about?
The newspaper. Maybe they want to read it.
Yeah, and after a week and they're all piled up, Ryan, what the hell do you do with them?
Details. News is news, Glenn.
I got to tell you, this Jeff Howe thing is pretty funny. As much fun as I had ruining the TV show the past 4 years, I won't be doing it this weekend. My choice alone. Yes, I don't, you know, I'm trying to be good to them. I've got too much else to handle the next few nights. What is
so
he
I tweeted back at him and said, what? I said, I'm not buying it. I said, why wouldn't you want to bring attention to you and your website? And like tonight, your source was threatened by the league to zip it, huh? And he tweeted back, threats happened a couple years ago and I kept going.
Oh, yeah. I'm a warrior. I fought right through it.
It's as simple as the tweet says.
You can't bury me. I swear to God.
Personal choice.
It's not a personal choice. You know what this is? This sounds like a Mike Francesa line. You know, my choice alone. I've got too much else to handle the next few nights. Sorry to everyone who's been asking.
As
but
in
also,
Red Sox.
Please ask everyone who's blocked me the past 4 years to come home.
Don't waste my time, please.
Stop it, Jeff. Just stop it. I mean, come on. You did a service the last 4 years. We congratulate and thank you for your service, by the way. Thank you. But come on.
I don't think you guys are taking this seriously.
What are you talking about? All of these other, you know, big wheels in the media in the National Football League are all telling us right now that they can't come up with it.
Not Mortensen. Mortensen's not true.
Yeah.
Mortensen's not true at all.
Yeah. They own you, Mort. Sorry, they own you. The commissioner owns you.
Let me ask you, if you were the Cardinals, should they take Kyler Murray? I guess it all depends on Josh Rosen.
Well, you said it earlier. They better love him because this could be a disastrous
pick.
Well,
you lose your job.
Yeah.
But you could lose your job either way. Let's say you pass on Kyler Murray. And he ends up peeing Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah.
Right? You know, so it's all about, really, it's that simple. But to me, you got to find your guy, you know. And I know Cleveland got shredded for years of passing up on these quarterbacks, whether it's Wentz, Mahomes, whoever it might be. But what they did was, and it worked out for them, I think. We'll see what Baker Mayfield is. But you were able to draft, hit on the draft picks, and then go get your quarterback, and now he's actually got a team year one, year two, to compete with.
So if we were talking about the safe way of dealing with it, if you're Arizona, and you need so many other things, your team absolutely sucks. So even if you go and draft Kyler Murray, your team is going to have problems winning games anyway.
So that's
this year.
What I'm saying. So if you look,
so
at
why
Rosen,
don't you keep Rosen?
If you look at Rosen, you say, you know what? Maybe it's a Jared Goff type year,
yep.
Right? Rookie, overmatched. Okay, let's put some players around. Let's trade out of one. All right, Daniel Snyder is nuts. You know, he wants one. He wants Kyler Murray. Or maybe he wants Haskins. Or whatever. Maybe the Giants want Kyler Murray. So whatever. You trade out of there. Maybe you drop down to 6-7, 5-6-7. You accumulate more picks.
And I get a second with it.
And then you go around and you draft 4 or 5 players in that first couple of rounds.
That's what I would
that
do.
They're really good football players. And give Josh Rosen another year or two. If he sucks, you'll be right back in the same spot again next year.
Right.
And you've got some other quarterbacks
maybe,
that are coming
maybe
out.
Maybe better quarterbacks.
Tua and a kid out of Oregon.
Yep.
You know, who everybody loves as well. Whatever. If you suck again, maybe you got the kid out of Clemson another year. So, I mean, it's do you build your team around the guy and risk losing out on Kyler Murray?
I think
because he could be Mahomes.
Listen,
or do you build a team around him and just say, we'll do this again next year?
Can't you sell to your fan base that we like what we see with Josh Rosen? The problem is he doesn't have enough around him to make him look good. We think Kyler Murray could be a terrific quarterback, but why are we giving up when we need so much other help? Why are we giving up on Josh Rosen? We're going to keep Josh Rosen. We're going to trade the top pick in the draft, okay, because somebody will come in there that's drafting in the top 5 or 6 that needs a quarterback. We will deal it and get a second and a third.
They've got to get a good player at 32.
Why wouldn't you do that? Yeah. Why wouldn't you do that?
Right.
And you're right. If you suck 2 years from now.
If Josh Rosen does suck in year two, you hope he really sucks. And you get the first or second pick the following year. But you've added 3 or 4 players, a couple of impact defensive players, you know, and you sort of build your roster. And the next year you go after Tua, you go, what's the kid? Hebert, is that his name, out in Oregon?
Yeah.
Something like that. So he's a good player, too. He can throw the hell out of it. So you just, I don't know, just kind of draft good players and then get your quarterback. Why reach?
Well, the flip side is that Rosen goes somewhere else. He's good, and it turns out that Kyler Murray, as much as people suddenly thought the world of him, he was too short. He couldn't get it done. Or even worse, he wants to go play baseball 2 years from now.
Or whatever.
Yeah, right. And then where are you? Paulie's in a car. Hi, Paulie.
Hey, what's going on?
What's up, Paulie?
How about those red flops, Flo, huh? They won the game last night.
Big, 11-4.
It was their first time they won a game comfortably,
wow.
Even though Thornburg made it interesting.
Yeah, it did.
Wow, what a floundering group, man. They missed a starting game this year. I decided early on not to emotionally invest in this team and just take the entertainment value and just watch these games and let come what may.
Right.
My God, you don't know what to expect. This is ridiculous.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, the draft. Man, we lost Trey Flowers and Danny Shelton, and you're leaving the interior defensive line over to, you know, a veteran who's still got something left in the tank, on the back nine and guy. I mean, that's not enough. I love this kid Lawrence. I say this kid Lawrence from Clemson is going to be around at this point. I hope they can pick him up, and then I hope Debo Samuel is available with that second pick.
Oh, me too.
That would be a boon.
Huge.
If we could get Lawrence and Samuel.
Debo, yeah.
My God, would that be great.
Steal. That'd be a steal.
He's emotionally involved in the draft. He may not be emotionally involved in the rest.
I don't know about you, but I have such a hard time, like, you know, the guy I want is in the going into the draft, right? How many people do it all the time? But
they
mock drafts locally.
Time.
I understand. I understand they have to and everything. But radio, I love this guy out of NC State. I love this guy out of Clemson.
Some play one game, probably.
Well,
right?
It's just,
yeah.
I mean,
bowl game, maybe.
Year in, year out. I love this guy. Oh, okay, great. You love him. Why? Because you read a couple articles about him. Well, you've seen him play a couple times. Even if you watch film religiously, and you love him,
Mamardovich.
Okay, how's your record? Guys, you've loved guys that have actually been good.
Well, you
tell me, guys. Well, you go back the last 2 or 3 years. All these guys that study the film and, you know, looking at the combine. I love this guy. All right, the last two years. Give me 15 guys you've loved, and even many good. How's your track record? I don't know. I love this guy.
So we've done.
I love that guy.
We used to do this years ago. Larry Johnson used to hold on for some reason all of the old draft books. In the old days, they actually, you know, had some credence, and he would collect them all and save them, and then we'd bring them back 4 or 5 years later, and we'd review it, and you look at them, and it's laughable. And I heard Dale and Keefe do this today. They had Mike Mayock talking about Easley after the Patriots drafted. Oh, best value in the draft. Best, you know. So you're right, Lou, and you're going to hear it tonight because this is what Belichick does. There'll be somebody he drafts probably in that first, second, third round, in which the guys in the set will sit there and go, "Oh my God, we got him projected in a sixth round or the fifth round." It happens. So it's his individual taste versus the, you know, the Kuypers and people like that. How much do they know? Go back and look at some of the Mel Kuyper picks 3 years later, and they're laughable.
Yeah.
Laughable. So yeah. And but Belichick's drafting for a player that he thinks will fit his system. Like, would it surprise you at all? You look at the safety.
Oh, yeah, but I'm with this. So Todd McShay, right?
Yeah.
He's the guy. Merrill Hodge, another guy, right?
Yes.
So these guys know what they're talking about. They're studying film, right?
Yeah, but
I mean, they watched the college
game.
Yeah,
but you never know. It's still a crapshoot.
I know. How about this one in 2008?
The post-Brett Favre era in Green Bay just got a little bit more interesting as Brian Brohm from Louisville headed to the Packers. Of course, Aaron Rodgers, the guy, the heir apparent, one would think. But now you have Brohm, Rodgers, both of the opportunity long-term to be the Packers quarterback.
Well, actually, I do like Brohm better than Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers is right now in his career. Let's look at the positives with Brohm. You know, as Reese just mentioned, he's played in two pro-style systems. That's a plus when you come to the NFL.
I like him. I honestly think Brian Brohm, 2 years from now, could be the starting quarterback of the Green Bay Packers. It would not shock me at all. And I still think Aaron Rodgers has a chance as well, but I think Brian Brohm's upside is greater than that of Aaron.
It's all stupid.
Brian Brohm played. Started three games in the NFL.
How do you
two
do?
Games in the NFL.
How do you do? Not so good if
one
you
in 2009 with Buffalo.
Right.
And in 2010, everybody another start with Buffalo. And his career numbers, his quarterback rating of 26, good number. Right. No touchdowns, 5 interceptions. And these two guys are saying, I know Rodgers is there in Green Bay, but I think I like Brohm better than I like Aaron Rodgers.
All of this stuff is laughable. But what people will do is we will get comments tomorrow because Belichick will draft some people who if you, and it won't happen after tonight because it's just the first round, but let's say after tomorrow. So people will bitch and say, what is Belichick doing? Mel Kuyper had this guy in the fifth round or the sixth round or somebody else had him. You know, Pro Football Weekly had him in the fifth round. Yeah, but Belichick is drafting him for specific needs. Specific needs. Here's Greg Bedard. If I'm the Patriots, I'm taking quarterback Tyree Jackson on game three. Tyree Jackson on day three and see if I can rebuild him. Sit him for 2 years.
All right, wait a minute. So what does this have to do with the game now?
In the third round?
Unreal. Third round.
I go to his page.
This will be rounds 4 through 7 on day three.
I have no idea who this guy is. Who's Tyree Jackson? Oh, here he is. University of Buffalo.
But
they're a football factory.
Did he never play? Because all I have is combine measurements.
He's 6'7", 245 pounds.
Pro football.
Oh, he's big. 6'7", he can see over the offensive line.
Worked for Osweiler.
This guy never played, never got drafted? Oh, day three. I mean, listen, he's taking a shot. I can't take a shot at Greg for that. I'll take shots from other
three
things,
cone drill numbers on?
But, you know, day three.
Who the hell knows? The whole thing's a crap. But you're right. When people call up and people say, this is the guy I want, this is the guy I want.
I want that
guy. You saw him in a certain setting. In that case, you saw Lawrence. You saw him in Clemson. And I would say they're pretty good players around him. So maybe his performance. And he could be a terrific player here. But you can't really tell an awful lot. All right, 617-779-7937. We'll get back into the Bruins as well. Columbus. So you think this is a free ride now? Huh? The Caps are out. This is a free ride, huh? Maybe not. We get to that. More of the NFL draft as well, right here on OMF.
Take OMF with you wherever you go. Download the radio.com app. Now back to Ordway, Merlone, and Fourier on WEEI.
We talked about it. Is it physicality? Is it foot speed? Hopefully both. We went with that lineup. It got us a nice win in 6, stuck with it in 7. Now we're resetting. We want to balance that physicality versus foot speed, and as the series goes on, we'll see who best fits. We do have some guys we know we can move in and out of the lineup. Every forward played in the last series, and it could very well happen again.
Here's Cassidy talking about game one coming up tonight. I already saw that John Moore was out, though. I would say he didn't really play well the other night anyway. Coleman is
out. Wagner's in.
Wagner is in tonight. So that's another lineup change that Bruce Cassidy has for this game. I can't tell you that I've watched Columbus an awful lot. I did watch three of the games in that last series against Tampa Bay. There were only four, by the way. And I did get the feeling that it's a different type of game that they played than what we saw with Toronto. So Toronto had a lot of speed.
More speed.
Though, yeah. You know, they played physical in a couple of those games. But it seemed to me that what Columbus was doing against Tampa Bay was trying to slow down their wingers, slow down their speed, and basically play a physical game to give them very little space.
They still got four lines that can score.
They do.
And I think Cassidy even said today, you know, he expected like a tougher series. Like, I'm not saying it's going to be a bloodbath.
Their defense is good, though.
But it would be, well, I think they're thin in the back end.
Jones and Werenski, the top two guys were terrific.
Savard's okay, but the other three are a little suspect.
Yeah.
Bobrovsky's the big key.
I think you can say that about a lot of the remaining teams in the NHL. They're not deep and they're suspect.
Yeah. Well, that's what I mean. And with him, I was looking at his last 12 games versus the Bruins, he's 3-6-2, 3-9 goals against. And he's got .889 save percentage. So he's sort of hasn't had no history at all. Bad history against the Bruins.
Yes.
But if you take away that last series against Tampa, which obviously is the last thing we saw, which I'm not sure you can do.
Well, he gave up the first three goals in the first period.
Right, but I mean, he's been shaky. It's off and on. You don't know what hot or cold. You don't know what you're going to get. You know, and I mean, so he could come in here and absolutely suck, or he could do what he did against Tampa.
Stand on his head, as they like to say in a hockey term. So he's had what? They've had nine days off? They've had 9 days off.
Yeah.
So I heard Dale talking about this earlier. And his feeling is the Bruins will be sharp because they're coming off of playing just 48 hours
before. Let's get it on.
And I've heard others and some of the people in Columbus are sitting there going, well, they're well rested, so this should be a game where they have far more energy. So I think Dale might be right early in this game, but I'm wondering what it's going to be like late in the game if we're dealing with a close game where suddenly these guys get their wheels late in the game because they've been off for 9 days. They've had an opportunity
to
rest.
Hurt them.
I like the Bruins in game one because of that. I do think that layoff, sort of the intensity of it. I think Tortorella was talking about this earlier today, too, as far as they go, listen, we came out down 3-0 to Tampa. So we know how we can't come out, right, in game one against Tampa Bay. So do they try to match it? I think it's tough to stay. It's just tough when you're away from it for so long. So I think the Bruins just continue the ride. Now, maybe they come out dead on flat, I don't know, on Saturday, game two. You know, I don't know, but I think game one, they just sort of carry that momentum that they had there in game seven against Toronto.
Yeah,
I expect them to win here tonight.
See, I think it's one of these series in which I think most people now have looked at what's remaining and said, the Bruins are going all the way and they should win this thing. And I'm not sure that's the case. With what's going on in the NHL right now, the remaining teams are there for a reason. And you know, you look at it and say, how the hell are all the division winners out of it?
Carolina?
Yeah. But these teams are playing better than any one of those are right now. And certainly, Columbus winning in four straight, do you think that was a fluke? Taking Tampa Bay, a team that had tied for the
most
wins?
They earned it. So I think, listen, after the first round, obviously anything can happen. It's, you know, we know that. But the Bruins are the favorite to win the Cup. That they've not, I don't know if they're ever going to have a better path than this one in the next two or three or four years, especially with this core. I know Chara's getting older. The other guys, I wouldn't consider old, even though they're getting older, but you know, I don't think Bergeron's only got a year left or two, so this group still has a window here, but I don't know if this window, if you want to consider it 3-4 years from now, is ever going to look like this one.
Yeah, you might be right.
Ever.
You might be right. On the other hand, everybody thought Tampa Bay was a shoo-in. Everybody thought that Winnipeg, Calgary, in the West, everybody thought that.
I understand that, Glenn, but still, this Bruins team, and when the season started, everybody just sat there. Tampa Bay was staring you in the face in that second round. You're like, oh, my God, how are they going to beat this team? They got knocked off. So, you know, even if in early when the season started, if Tampa Bay got knocked off, you'd say, you should be in the mix. I mean, you're not only in the mix, but you're the favorite. Expectations have to change if you're a Bruins fan.
Would it surprise you if any one of these remaining teams actually won the Stanley Cup?
Carolina would surprise the hell out of me.
It wouldn't surprise me after watching them last night.
That would surprise the hell out of me.
Look at them last night.
I'm just saying, they would.
Lou, they're down early in that game.
They had 2-0, 3-1. I get it.
On the road, they had to come back late in that game. And they did it, and then they won it in second overtime. All right? So they kept them, and they put all of the pressure on in that first overtime. And did I expect it? No. But that's where I think the NHL is right now.
Well, I would say the pressure's now on the Bruins because they are the best team left. They're the best team left.
And everybody thinks they're going to win this whole thing.
Well,
and I'm not sure that's the case.
They should get to the cup. Expectations should change. I'm not saying the season would be a failure if you didn't, but it'd be a huge disappointment.
Well, I think
given the path that's in front of you right now.
Well, I think there'll be some pissed off people.
There should be some pissed off people.
Yeah. Terrence is in Southie. Hey, Terrence wants to talk about the series. Go ahead.
Hey, what's up, guys? So just want to make a quick little distinction on the difference between Toronto. And I hear everyone saying, Columbus better matchup than Toronto, okay? Now, I'm sure if you wanted to grab Torrey Krug and Brandon Carlo and Mac Drzelik, sit them down and ask them who they'd like to play tonight.
Speed.
They'd be very happy to take on Toronto because the Boone Jenners and the Nick Foligno's and the Brandon Dubinsky and the Josh Andersons aren't going to absolutely pace them into the second row.
Well, you can look. You
bigger,
can look at
more physical team.
Yeah, you can look at what Cassidy did, and he was successful with Nordstrom and Johansson using the speed in this last series. But how is that going to pay off in this series?
Oh, right. You should.
And the other thing is that I don't think people are really understanding is Toronto, other than Riley, their D is so pathetic. It's not even funny. But Seth Jones, Zach Werenski, these guys snap pass first pass right on the tape, and it's up and out. So
one pair. What about the other two pairs?
Well, I'll tell you what, David Savard, a lot of people, you know, he's not a household name, but he's a hell of a defenseman.
No, I said both those guys, Rinsky and Jones, and Savard.
Savard,
you know,
yeah, he's on that second.
That third pairing? I think you can take advantage of him.
You know, everybody can't be, top of the line.
Yeah, but this team has the same problem, too. You can look at Torrey Krug and say he can score, but do you feel comfortable with him back there?
No, I understand that. Not everybody can have great pairs, but then when he opens up the segment, you know, talking about the bottom three defensemen, how they're going to get worn out, I bring up the bottom three defensemen for Columbus, and it turns into, well, not everybody can be good.
Not just the bottom three. I mean, the Chars, the rest of them, they're all going to have a rough time, I'm telling you right now. But anyways, and then the other thing is, so we went over the grit. We went over their D because that first pass, that's the most important pass in hockey. And they get the skill too, man. You're not going to find many players that are more skilled than Artemi Panarin.
All right, so you love Columbus. It's obvious. Quick series, long series.
Columbus. I'm just saying.
Okay.
Columbus wins a series. Do not be surprised. And I'll tell you what.
Terrence, I don't think anybody would, but would you be disappointed given the path in front of the Boston Bruins?
Well, of course, you're always going to be disappointed if you want the Bruins to win. But I'm just saying, like it's not going to be as simple as everyone seems.
Oh, I don't know if people think it's going to be simple. If they do, then you know, they don't know Columbus, because Columbus was a team that at the deadline made all these moves, and people wondering what the hell's going on. You got all these guys unrestricted free agents. You know, you bringing in Duchesne, DeZingle, and you're sitting there saying, okay, you still got your own free agents. Panarin's another free agent at the end of the year. You're going for it right now, really? You guys are barely into the playoffs. And it took a while for them to click. But if you count that series against Tampa Bay, they've won 11 of the last 12 games. Yeah, the one game they lost was the Bruins.
Listen, I don't know what he knows about Columbus. I would say this. Something weird's happening in the league right now. And I would not put it past any one of these teams. And you saw it last night. I felt the same way. I'm thinking, okay, Washington's at home. They're going to win the series. They took a 2-0 lead in that series. They end up losing it in 7. Where do they lose? They lose at home in double overtime. Weird stuff is happening right now.
Up 2-0, up 3-1.
Yes. And so you're losing all of your superstars in this league. So you're dealing with the muckers right now. You're dealing with the guys that don't have great names, but the NHL is different. You can play on emotion, and you're seeing it. Here's Joe in a car. Hey, Joe.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. Good afternoon.
Hey, Joe.
Hey, Lou, you want to trade for Rosen, right?
Yeah, you know, second round pick.
Okay. And Glenn, you like Rosen, right?
No, I don't like Rosen, no. For the Patriots, I would not. I would not make this trade. No, I would not do it.
I'm with you, Glenn. Hey, Lou, you know I love you. I got a man crush on you. I love you, the smartest guy on the radio right now.
But
I got to tell you, you're off on Rosen.
He's a dope, Joe. You know that.
This guy played all year last year. Hey, Glenn, what was this quarterback rating? You know?
We can look it up. It was higher than that other guy that had the 26, but He played 13 games. He wasn't good. But, Joe, he played for a piss-poor team. They were bad.
My buddy's a Giants fan. He's all excited. He's saying that the Giants are going after Rosen, too.
Well, you would, too, if your quarterback was Eli Manning. So, that's an upgrade.
But, Joe, listen, I'll tell you, because Josh Rosen's quarterback rating was 66.7.
That sucks.
It does suck. But let me tell you what Jared Goff's was his rookie year. 63.6.
Yeah, but Goff, you got to look at Goff's weapons, though.
Goff sucked. How would you be with Todd Gurley?
I'd be awesome. Todd Gurley, you got Woods back there. You got the other wide receiver there. The Rams were packed. They were packed with talent. Well, you know what I mean?
But hold on. You're acting like he didn't have Todd Gurley as his running back. His rookie year.
I just told you, Goff, his numbers were okay because he had a good supporting cast around him. This guy, Josh Rosen.
They had the same numbers, Joe. Joe, the rookie year, they had the same numbers. Who did he have? He had David Johnson.
You know what?
Sucked last year.
Sucks too. But he had a good team around him. You know what I mean? But I don't know what.
No, he didn't. They were awful.
Listen, I'll tell you this, Joe. They better Arizona
they were
better
4-12 his rookie year.
They better be sold on Murray that he is going to be sensational, because you're dealing away Josh Rosen right now, when you can get additional draft picks in dealing them, because there are teams that really are, you know, you don't think Oakland would move up there to get Murray right now in a heartbeat, and they'd probably give you half the franchise to do it. So you can get an awful lot for him. They better be sold on Murray, because if Murray's not the real deal and you trade away Rosen, and let's say Rosen's just a pretty good quarterback, then you really made a stupid mistake, and then you're back, as you said, you're back in the same situation all over
again. Which is why they should trade him to the Patriots.
Which is what Buffalo does every single year. I don't want him with the Patriots. I don't want him with the Patriots.
With a little Glenn.
Apparently, one of the one of the Bruins players claims he's been getting death threats.
Ooh.
I'm not sure I'd buy all of this. We will get to it coming up next.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during O Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.